Before I begin the sermon, I would like for each of you to look out a window and see the sunshine. Now, doesn't that make you feel better than rain? And if it does for us, think about the people who have endured Hurricane Harvey. We still need to keep them in our prayers, do we not? Yes, we do. This series began last week, and Charles spoke about the phrase, live simply. Now, I am not going to repeat his sermon, but I do want to share what I consider a capsule of it. Each day that God gives us, the Christian life begins anew. Our great joy is to share Christ each day. And as we are going, live simply and share Christ. Today's emphasis is, as we are going, love generously. Well, today's passage from Romans, Paul has set forth a virtual laundry list of directions of how we as individuals and communities of faith should live our lives. If you have participated in the Wednesday morning Bible study, you know that we've been studying the book of Romans, and we plan to complete that book this fall. Now, if you have studied Romans or read Romans, you probably recognized a natural separation in the book. The first 11 chapters and then chapters 12 through 16. A very brief synopsis of Romans would go like this. Paul has spent 11 chapters assuring the church that the grace of God, the grace that justifies us all, is not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles alike. And because we are Gentiles, that is good news. Even though it wasn't read this morning, the first verse of chapter 12 begins with an interesting word, therefore. Therefore. Paul's argument is pretty simple. Chapters 1 through 11, I have pointed out, Paul has pointed out, the grace of God is for all. Therefore, the grace of God for all people have responsibility. And Paul then goes on to point out the implications of God's grace for us as individuals and as communities of faith. If my math is correct, Paul names 23 injunctions on how we should live. But not in this particular passage is the greatest trait of a Christian that Paul ever said, and it was love. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. So as we think about the phrase, love generously, what might that mean for us today? Our passage starts out rather simply, let love be genuine. Genuine, let love be without judgment. love others as freely and as generously as God in Christ has loved each of us. Let the phrase sink in just for a second. The amount of love that we love others should be at least equal to the love that we have experienced in Christ. The attributes of a generous, genuine love are: it abhors evil, it clings to what is good, it is affectionate toward one another in brotherly or sisterly love. Generous love does not lack in zeal, and it serves the Lord with passion. Generous love rejoices in hope. It is patient in suffering, and it perseveres in prayer. It gives to the needs of others. It extends hospitality to strangers. This one is a little more difficult. Generous love will bless your enemies and not curse them. Generous love will rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who rejoice. Generous love lives in harmony with all and doesn't think that we are better than another. Generous love does not repay evil for evil. Generous love seeks to live peaceably with all. Generous love never seeks revenge. It leaves revenge to God. Generous love serves your enemies. It feeds them and clothes them if that is their need. And generous love overcomes evil with good. Wow. I was doing okay maybe the first couple, and then it got more challenging the longer the list went. Love generously, love consistently every day. Love not just ourselves, but everyone. That love is the same love that Christ extended to others during his earthly ministry. Do you remember? Christ consistently confounded the religious leaders by associating with the likes of sinners. Tax collectors, people known as the least of these. So if we pattern our lives after the life and ministry of Christ, what can we learn? Well, for sure, the love of Christ implores us to share with others. This love, a costly, a sacrificial love, a love that is always active and not passive. As we have seen the images of utter destruction in Texas and the Gulf Coast from Harvey, it brought back memories to us, didn't it? Floyd, in 1999, when if you were here, you had seen much too much water, didn't want to see that much again. Hurricane Katrina, a few years later, which had more water than we ever thought possible. Superstorm Sandy, a few years after that, and now Hurricane Harvey. Just when we thought we'd seen all the flooding we can handle, Hurricane Harvey comes along. Flooding unimaginable and destruction that seems to have no end. And yet, the efforts are only beginning. When the waters recede, then the real work begins. The prospect of rebuilding people's lives and property and infrastructure and all the systems that a modern city requires will not be quick or easy. Houston and all the areas affected by Harvey will need sustained assistance for years, perhaps decades to come. Remember the scripture? Let us not grow weary in doing good. We have to keep the efforts for those in Harvey's path. And as bleak and as destructive as we've seen, we saw another image. We saw people helping people, neighbor helping neighbor, without regard to who was in need. Citizens went out of their way to rescue people and animals and to take supplies to shelters. Knowing that the emergency personnel were overwhelmed and could not possibly respond to everyone, ordinary people did what they could. Many went out to their boats, got in their boats, and went to rescue people. Others walked door to door in chest-high water. Others took supplies to shelters. In every case, the action was spurred by a need. And beyond that, think about what happened. You met someone, there was not an interview, there was not a set of questions to see if you were worthy to be helped. It was just love in action, loving others generously as you are going. As you are going to share love with those who need so much to be loved. Race or creed did not matter. The person's address did not matter. Their political or religious view did not matter. The ability to repay did not matter. What mattered was people's response to an overwhelming need. And friends, that response was exactly the response that you and I have received through Jesus Christ. God loved each of us so much, and we are to love others generously. The world will know that we are Christians by our love one for another. What we have witnessed during Harvey is the ability to drown out what divides people and the ability to work together for the common good. John Wesley stated, "Do all the good you can." And if we loosely translated that phrase today, it would go something like this. Love everyone you can love generously every day. Some of you are familiar with Dave Simmons, who has written several books, and this one is called Dad the Family Coach. It talks about an incident that he had with his son and daughter through their eyes. And he says, I took Helen, who was 8, and Brandon, who was 5, to Hattiesburg to do a little shopping. And as we drove up, we spotted an 18-wheeler with a big sign on it that says, Petting Zoo. Well, the kids jumped up and down, and they were excited. Daddy, Daddy, can we go? Can we please go? Please, please. So I said, sure. I gave them each a quarter before walking into Sears. They bolted away, and I felt free to take my time looking at the saws. The petting zoo consists of a portable fence, and inside the fence were about 6 inches of sawdust and about 100 or so little furry animals. Kids paid their money, stayed in the enclosure, captivated by squirmy little critters while mom and dad shopped. Well, a few minutes later, I was surprised to see Helen walking along behind me. I didn't know that she preferred the hardware store to the petting zoo. So realizing something must be wrong, I bent down and asked her what was wrong. And she looked up at me with those brown eyes and said sadly, well, Daddy, it costs 50 cents. So I gave Brandon my quarter. And then she said the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. She repeated a portion of our family motto, love is action. She had given Brandon her quarter, knowing that no one loves little animals more than Helen. She had watched her parents do and say love is action around the house for a long time, and now she had incorporated that into her little lifestyle. It was a part of her. You might think, what did I do? Well, it might not be exactly what you thought. When I finished shopping in the hardware store, I took Helen to the petting zoo. We stood by the fence and watched little Brandon go crazy petting and feeding the animals. Helen stood with her hands and chin on the fence and just watched Brandon. Of course, I had 50 cents in my pocket. I never offered it to Helen, and she never asked for it. And she didn't ask for it because she knew that the entire family motto is this, love is sacrificial action. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for the receiver and not for the giver. Love gives. It doesn't grab. Helen gave her quarter to Brandon and wanted to follow through with the lesson. She knew that She had to taste the sacrifice. She wanted to experience that total family motto. Love is sacrificial action. So as you are going, love generously. Love sacrificially. Love without constraints. Love without borders. Love everyone. If in doubt, love anyway. Remember the words of our Lord in Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and goats. The king will say to them, whatever you have done for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. Lord, enable us to love generously every day as we are going about our lives. But there is a nagging question that we need to address. How are you, how am I going to love generously as we are going? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.